Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and trending discussions from Hacker News. I'm Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2026, and you are listening to episode 483. We are going to be covering the best stories from yesterday, August 9th.
We have a really wild lineup today. We are going to unpack a massive doubleheader drama involving an App Store rejection, John Gruber, and an AI plagiarism excuse that had the whole community talking. We will also look at a really creative way to use language models to learn complex topics, dive into why the Windows 11 weather app is suddenly eating a gigabyte of RAM, and discuss a historian's take on how Silicon Valley completely misreads science fiction.
Let us start with the drama, because this one absolutely took over Hacker News yesterday. It actually spans two separate posts on the front page that are totally intertwined. The first is a retraction from John Gruber on Daring Fireball, and the second is an apology post from an indie developer named Terry Gaudier.
Right, so let us set the stage for anyone who missed the prequel to this. A few days ago, John Gruber wrote a scathing post blasting Apple's App Store reviewers. The story he was told was that this developer, Terry, submitted an astronomy app called Dark Hours, and Apple rejected it on the grounds that it was an astrology app. Gruber was furious on the developer's behalf, writing about how Apple's reviewers apparently could not tell the difference between hard science and pseudoscience.
But then the truth came out, and it was a bad look for everyone involved, except Apple. Yesterday, Gruber had to issue what he says is his first full retraction in the 24 years he has been writing Daring Fireball. It turns out the app originally submitted to Apple was actually called Astrally, and it absolutely was an astrology app. It literally had a tarot card of the day feature and horoscopes. Apple's rejection was completely correct under their guidelines that restrict saturated categories like fortune-telling and dating apps.
Gruber was pretty upset. He wrote that his disdain for astrology is so utter, and his esteem for this developer's previous work was so high, that it simply never occurred to him that the guy would submit an astrology app and then feign surprise when it got rejected. Gruber even showed the developer a draft of the fiery post before publishing it, and the guy said nothing to correct the record. He just let Gruber go to bat for a total lie.
But wait, it gets so much crazier. After the App Store rejection, the developer decided to pivot and launch a web version of the Pure Astronomy app, calling it Dark Hours. He launched it last week using code he generated with Claude. Almost immediately, the creator of an existing open-source astronomy web app, which is also called Dark Hours, points out that this new app is a direct clone. It had the exact same branding, the exact same features, and it even reproduced a very specific bug from the open-source project that routed people to random fields in Mexico.
Which brings us to the second post, titled Mea Culpa. The developer writes a blog post apologizing, saying he used Claude to generate the project and was careless in not realizing it closely resembled an existing project. He took his site down, redirected his domain to the original open source creator, and said he will not be using AI to create web stuff anymore. The Hacker News comments were brutal, as you might expect. One user laid out the whole timeline, pointing out how unbelievable the excuse is. The general consensus in the thread is that saying AI did it is the new version of the dog ate my homework. Exactly. Someone brought up a recent controversy with a major guitar string manufacturer who got caught using AI-generated music for an ad. The company kept passing the buck, first blaming the mastering software, and then finally blaming a rogue employee who allegedly used Suno without their knowledge. It is this new era of corporate buck passing. You do something wrong or you plagiarize and you just blame the language model.
It is really hard to believe a language model just magically hallucinated the exact same user interface, the exact same name, and the exact same obscure bug without being explicitly prompted to clone that specific GitHub repository. As one commenter pointed out, there is a sad market opportunity now for a professional scapegoat, but in this case, the AI is the perfect scapegoat because it cannot defend itself.
Moving on to a much more positive use of artificial intelligence, we had a great post from Laurentiu Reducu titled, How I Use LLMs to Learn Complex Topics.
I really liked this one. A lot of us use language models to summarize things, but Laurentiu points out that reading AI-generated prose can be exhausting. It is often too simplistic, filled with unnecessary emojis, and just dense in a weird way. So instead of asking the AI to explain a topic with text, he asks it to build a simulation.
Yes, this is so clever. He wanted to learn about semiconductor manufacturing, which is incredibly complex. So he used a coding model to generate a low-poly, roller coaster tycoon-style web animation of a chip factory. He calls it Chip Tycoon. You literally watch a little cart take quartz sand from a furnace all the way through the lithography process to a finished data center chip.
It is such a brilliant bypass of the hallucination problem. By forcing the model to output code for a visual simulation, you get something you can actually see and interact with. He uses a specific workflow where he asks the model to build a knowledge base first, then review its own accuracy, and then build the simulation with user interface controls so he can pause and explore. He even pushes the code to GitHub pages so he can play with it on his phone.
The comments on Hacker News really resonated with the problem of reading AI text. One commenter mentioned that these models cannot read the room to know how much context you already have, so they try to include absolutely everything. Another person noted that humans hold maybe 3 to 5 concepts in their working memory at a time, but an AI is balancing billions of parameters, which creates a massive mismatch in how information is presented.
That is why you get that wall of text effect. A really good piece of advice from the thread was to feed a trusted book into the model and ask questions as you read, rather than asking the AI to write a custom book from scratch.
Someone also brought up the old adage that the best way to learn something is to teach it. If you are building a simulation, you are essentially acting as the architect of the lesson, which forces you to understand the mechanics. Laurentiu has done this for other topics too, like how rocket engines are made and how extreme ultraviolet lithography machines are built. It is way better than passively reading a bulleted list.
Okay, grab your pitchforks for this next one. A report from Notebook Check reveals that the built-in Windows 11 weather app is using over 1 gigabyte of RAM.
1 gigabyte for the weather. The article compares it to Apple's native macOS weather app, which uses less than 250 megabytes under similar conditions.
The culprit here is that Microsoft app is not a fully native Windows application. It's essentially an MSN web app running inside Microsoft's WebView 2 framework. So when you open it, Task Manager shows multiple Chromium-based subprocesses spinning up. It starts around 1 gigabyte, might drop to 500 megs when idle, but spikes up to 1.6 gigabytes just from zooming or panning around the interface.
Which is wild when you think about entry-level PCs that only have 8 gigs of RAM. You open the weather to see if it is going to rain, and suddenly 20% of your system memory is gone, and Windows is hitting the page file, making everything else lag.
The Hacker News comments turned into a massive nostalgia trip, which I absolutely loved. One user talked about their gaming PC from 2006. They had exactly 1 gigabyte of total system RAM, and on that machine they were simultaneously running Battlefield 2, Trillion for chat, X-Fire, Thunderbird for email, and Winamp.
Oh, wow, Trillion and Winamp. That takes me back. It really highlights the bloat of modern software. Someone else in the thread mentioned writing a native conference schedule app in Rust recently that compiles down to 500 kilobytes and uses a couple of megabytes of RAM while running. They said even that felt too big.
Now, to be fair to Microsoft, one commenter named Goob42 gave a really great technical breakdown of how memory actually works in modern operating systems. They pointed out that Task Manager showing 1 gigabyte does not necessarily mean 1 gigabyte of physical RAM is exclusively locked up by that app. A lot of those Chromium components are shared memory, and the operating system is doing memory mapping and virtual memory tricks. So killing the weather app might not actually free up a full gigabyte.
That is a fair technical point, but it is still the classic trade-off we see today: developer convenience versus user resources. Wrapping a web app in Chromium is cheap and easy for Microsoft, and it lets them embed sponsored content and ads directly into the forecast feed, which the article also called out. But the cost is paid by the user's hardware. It completely contradicts Microsoft's recent claims that they want to optimize Windows 11 for lower-end hardware.
Let us wrap up today with a fascinating interview from TechCrunch. They spoke with Jill Lepore, a Harvard historian and New Yorker staff writer, about her upcoming book, The Rise and Fall of the Artificial State.
Her core argument is that the tech industry is led by bad readers who are actively undermining democracy. She says that private corporations in Silicon Valley are increasingly taking on the functions of the state, and that this is a return to tyranny and mystification in the form of rule by algorithms and corporations.
She points to things like Facebook creating its own Supreme Court for content moderation, or Anthropic hiring a moral philosopher to write a constitution for its AI, or Sam Altman going on Joe Rogan and saying an AI president would be a great idea. She argues they are deliberately trying to replace the liberal democratic nation state.
And she traces a lot of this back to how tech leaders misread science fiction. She brought up the famous 1984 Apple Macintosh Super Bowl ad, which positioned the personal computer as a tool of liberation against the totalitarian mainframe. But she says that was just a clever ad campaign. It was marketing. Yet modern tech leaders have somehow internalized it as a serious political philosophy where technology automatically equals freedom.
She also talked about the 1990s internet optimism and the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which she views as a historical turning point heavily influenced by libertarian ideals that wanted to eradicate the nation-state.
The Hacker News discussion on this was really nuanced. A lot of commenters pushed back on the idea that these tech leaders have a deep, sinister philosophy. One user said, "They just got uber rich, and now they worry about the concerns of the uber rich. When you are so far removed from the public that you can buy your own island or buy citizenship somewhere else, the things that matter to normal people just do not register anymore."
Right. It is not some grand ideological master plan. Suddenly, small differences in marginal tax brackets or antitrust enforcement are the biggest encroachments on freedom they feel. Another commenter called it freshman philosophy syndrome. You take a few basic concepts, you have a passing thought, and because you are surrounded by yes men, you think you have discovered some profound truth about how society should be governed.
Though one commenter did point out a funny counterexample. They mentioned Palantir, noting that its CEO, Alex Karp, actually has a PhD in philosophy and studied under Jürgen Habermas. So some of these leaders do have deep academic backgrounds, even if the end result still looks like corporate overreach.
It is a really interesting lens to view the current AI boom through. When tech CEOs say their technology is going to save the world and bring democracy everywhere, it is worth looking at their track record and asking if they are actually building tools for citizens or just building artificial states that they get to control.
That is a great thought to end on. That is all we have for episode 483.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to read any of the articles or dive into the comment sections we talked about, you can find them on the front page of Hacker News.
We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories. Have a great day, everyone.